Turn to John chapter 3. We've had it read already, not all of it, but through the 22nd verse. The particular text I want to pay the most attention to is found in verse 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now let's look at the context. It may take me longer to look at the context than it does pay particular attention to the text. John 3, we're in 1 through 15. We'll read that. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So we have these words of Jesus before us. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." These were spoken to a very great and learned man. He was a member of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. These words are directed at all mankind. Christ is speaking of the necessity of regeneration in God's scheme of salvation. And he says, also, ye, plural, all who would be a child of God and saved from hell, ye must be born again. And he says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is not a new revelation which Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus and with all mankind. But until Christ, it was never so succinctly and directly preached. But it is not new. The Old Testament prophets spoke of regeneration when they spoke of a circumcised heart, a new spirit. Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. There is much speculation on that. Some say, well, he didn't want to bother the teacher during the day when he was busy, and there's various things like that put forth. But I think the record is clear that, or at least strongly suggests, that Nicodemus came by night to avoid being seen keeping company with Jesus. A member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, keeping company with Jesus, going humbly to Jesus and seeking truth, is not something that Nicodemus wanted to do in the light of day. But he was a man under great conviction. It's clear. Not yet a citizen of heaven, an heir of salvation, but under great conviction. And he saw that Jesus was from God. And he acknowledged that God was with Jesus, but he did not know Jesus as God, the Christ. And you see, Nicodemus says, we know. There were others that knew that Jesus was from God and God was with him. But they didn't come. They weren't under the sort of conviction, perhaps, that Nicodemus was. Nicodemus came. He wanted to know truth. Now, he later told his fellow Pharisees, while they were thirsting for the blood of Jesus, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" Now, this would have been a proper statement if it would have been a common murderer or some other criminal that Nicodemus was speaking about. But it took courage, considering the subject of that statement was Jesus. It took courage. So you see then a man under conviction, don't you? A man troubled in his spirit. And then finally we see Nicodemus after the crucifixion of Jesus bringing costly spices to embalm his body. Now this is even more out in the open, you might say. It's a very, very encouraging sign. But we cannot be sure we'll see Nicodemus in heaven. We have to wait. God knows. But we have reason to be very hopeful. We can hope that this interview he had with the Lord Jesus Christ dashed all his hopes of justifying himself and revealed to him that salvation is an omnipotent, sovereign, spiritual work of God to which no man can contribute anything. Now, the kingdom of God is spiritual, holy, and eternal. And fallen man is of the earth, unholy and mortal. And so we can hope that Nicodemus realized that man surely can do nothing to effect the spiritual regeneration, the new birth that Jesus is telling him about, which is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't even realize it was necessary. And we can hope that he came to the realization that it's necessary, but he himself could do nothing to affect it. It's a work of God. Now, in the passage we're briefly considering, we witness then a natural, unregenerate man coming to Christ under conviction. He doesn't come in arrogance, like you see the Pharisees come many times. He hasn't come to trap Jesus. He's almost childlike, as his question in verse 4 shows. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now here we have Nicodemus, who is a Hebrew, an Israelite. He would have thought himself as having already been born into the kingdom of God. Now he's being told he cannot see, he cannot be a part of, he cannot be brought into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. But he thought he was in the kingdom of God. And Jesus disabuses him of that notion, that error. He tells him, it's all to no avail. It doesn't matter how you're born. It doesn't matter what your blood is. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what your church is. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It doesn't matter. You have to be born again. There is a necessity of being regenerated. And he stresses this by stating, "Verily, verily." He says that several times. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And moving on in verse 5 through 8, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now, this born of water absolutely does not speak of baptism. And I respectfully dissent from those of my brethren who say it refers to the cleansing, renovating work of the Holy Ghost and the quickening of sinners. I'm very aware that water is used as such a figure in several places in the Bible. But I do not believe it's so in this case, according to the context. First, Jesus spoke of the spiritual birth. Then Nicodemus spoke of the natural birth. Next, Jesus responds by saying, "Verily, verily, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see two different things here, two different births. And then immediately after he says that, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So we have here two births, one of a woman, one from the womb, one of water, one of the flesh. And then we have the other birth from above, spiritual, and of the spirit. Jesus spoke of this in John 1, 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now clearly, a man must first be given by God physical, natural life. I mean, we ought to thank God for our lives. Without it, we could not have eternal life and all the bliss and blessing of heaven. But to be born into this world, no matter the situation or the station in which you're born, doesn't qualify anyone to enter the kingdom of God. A man must be born of the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit of God in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He had heard the scriptures read and preached every Sabbath day. He apparently had done some teaching himself. And Jesus says to him, art thou, in verse 10, a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now, clearly, considering what the scriptures and experience and the conscience that even a fallen man has left, corrupted as it is, all these things teach of the fallen and depraved state of man. And so no man, let alone a man such as Nicodemus, should doubt the necessity of regeneration. But until the Holy Ghost shines light into their soul, natural men do not really understand their need or accept their need to be born again. And yet Jesus says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus wanted to know how this could be. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Nicodemus was a natural man, so he didn't discern spiritual things. Even the invisible, omnipotent, sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in the regenerating of sinners and the salvation of their souls. And so he says, how can these things be, drawing this rebuke from Jesus, art thou a master, an instructor of Israel, and knowest not these things? There are a lot of unregenerate pastors around that know not these things too. But many of them are hard-hearted men with seared consciences. Nicodemus was not like that. He was a man troubled in his soul. And he was unsettled in his conscience. And he was looking to Jesus for answers. There have been pastors and preachers, such as John Wesley, that were unregenerate when they first started preaching. And so very, very lacking in their understanding, obviously, and in their light. And yet troubled in their conscience. Their conscience was not yet seared. And they went looking to Jesus for answers. Now, natural men cannot discern spiritual things. But by the grace of God, they can discern enough of their own sin and their own fallen state to be uneasy in their conscience, troubled in their soul. And they can seek after spiritual truth and spiritual light. They can seek after the Lord while he may be found. They can cry out and continue to cry out for mercy, for light, for life, for saving faith. And the Lord declares this, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then we have verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we. Did you note that he said we? Christ Jesus and all his seed. All those born of the Spirit of God who discern spiritual things. Is this very gracious of him? But it's true. We speak that we do know. Those of us in Christ speak these things by the Spirit of Christ. We know them by the Spirit of Christ. We know this to be immutable truth. Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, is the truth. But those of us born from above know the truth as it is in Jesus. And we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen concerning regeneration in this instance. That's the subject of this. We have seen this truth spiritually, and we have experienced it. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. Now, Christ has known it eternally, but we know it in Him. And ye receive not our witness. Natural men receive not our witness. I mean, of themselves, they can't. They won't. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, in other words, use earthly figures to demonstrate and show forth spiritual truths, how shall ye, any natural man, by his own will and power, believe if I, the Lord of glory, come down from heaven, the one who is the Word and the truth, a man and yet no ordinary man, tell you heavenly things? Now, no natural man can come to faith and life by his own means, his own will, his own intellect, his own power, no matter how much is told him of heavenly things. And who tells him? The Lord Jesus Christ could tell Nicodemus these things. And nothing would happen in Nicodemus except God wills that it happen and works that it would happen. So it's not just the words, it's the work of God, the power of God. And Nicodemus wants to just be taught. How can these things be? Just explain all of this, not what must happen and why, but how does all this work? There's a lot of people that dwell a little bit too long on the workings of God, things they can't see. Some things are for us and some are His. Some things He's given to men and some He hasn't. But no natural man can come to faith and life by his own means. So, those who are not in Christ need to stop trying to be saved by reason or intellect or self-will. And they need to humble themselves. They need to put themselves in the dust before God and beseech Him to shine the light of the gospel into their heart and make them new creatures by His own omnipotent power. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to enter the kingdom of God, a man must be born again, born from above, born spiritually, regenerated by the omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this, can we say it often enough, is an inward, invisible, powerful, purifying, vivifying, restoring, renovating, heart-changing, sovereign work of God. That's what it is. And Nicodemus wanted Jesus then to explain this invisible work by the Holy Spirit to him in a way which would satisfy all the questions that then came up into his mind. He wanted to know how the Holy Spirit works this work of regeneration. But Jesus has shown him that regeneration doesn't come from the mind or the will or the thought or the understanding or the decision or the power of a man. The children of God are those which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And even with the aid of earthly things, Nicodemus could not of himself understand heavenly truth. That's because earthly figures and types cannot give spiritual light. They can only point to the light of the world, and further convince the sinner to seek after Him, praying that He would illuminate their soul with life-giving truth. Now next, Christ graciously resorts to a figure which Nicodemus was very familiar with. In this He shows both the instrumental cause and the meritorious cause of justification, which is essential to the new birth. 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The bronze serpent in the wilderness, you're familiar with that, I know you are. You know the story well. It is a historical account. It is something that really happened. And of course, it is a figure of Christ on the cross, this bronze serpent. And those who had been bitten by fiery serpents due to their rebellion against God were told to look up to the bronze serpent, which was lifted up on a pole. It was not a true serpent, but it was like unto one. They were to look up, and of course, trusting that the Lord would heal them from the deadly venom and so they wouldn't perish. Look up. Surely there were many who were too stubborn to do so. They thought, this is foolish. There must be something more than this. There must be something I have to do. Look up at that. But they had to look up. Look at this serpent on the pole. They had, in that sense, to look by faith to be saved. Now, Christ tells Nicodemus that he, the Son of Man, the God come down from heaven, made as to the flesh of a woman, made under the law, must be lifted up on the cross, then to bear and atone for the imputed sins of his people. He must be made on the cross to look like a sinner in God's eye of justice for the propitiation and remission of sin, but no more a sinner than the bronze serpent was a true serpent. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so the only way to be healed of the deadly venom of sin and saved from eternal death is to look unto Christ. This is what Nicodemus is being told. Look unto Christ, and by free grace alone, through faith alone, to be saved by the merits of Jesus alone, by the power of God alone. Faith, then, is the instrumental cause of salvation and the new birth. Christ is the meritorious cause. The Holy Spirit is the effectual cause. It's vain to look to anything, including in any measure to self, or church, or religion, or good deeds, or anything, but only to look to the Lord for new and eternal life. Look unto me, and be ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I said the instrumental cause of regeneration or the new birth is faith in Christ. Regeneration and eternal life cannot be separated. The first is part of and the beginning of the second. Now, concerning the faith, the gospel promises, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to have faith in him alone, in his blood and his righteousness for the saving of our souls. Now, faith is not something a natural man, a sinner dead in trespasses and sins, can simply determine to have. The very definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1, which we preached on not that long ago, makes that clear. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You cannot just conjure that up in your mind because you want to. And yet, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and for by grace are ye saved through faith. The scriptures testify that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, by the word of God, faith is worked or implanted in the sinner's heart by the Holy Spirit. We're speaking of regeneration. By the word of God, faith is worked or implanted in the sinner's heart by the Holy Spirit. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 21 of his epistle. He speaks of the engrafted or implanted word, he says, the word which is able to save your souls. He calls it the engrafted, that means implanted word, he says, which is able to save your souls. Earlier, James in verse 18 very clearly states, and it's the Holy Spirit by James, of his own will begat. Now everyone is in agreement that this is speaking of regeneration. When you speak of quickening, when you say begat, when you say born again, begat us with, the instrument, the word of truth. that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. So here, it's plainly stated in the Word of God that the instrument God uses in the new birth is the gospel. And of course, faith by the hearing of the gospel. Peter speaks of the Christian, 1 Peter 1, verse 23, as being born again. The very words of Jesus, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, the instrument, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Here, the Spirit of Jesus, speaking by Peter, says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's only the instrument. It's not the effectual cause. That's the Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of Christ declaring by Peter that the new birth is worked by God, by the word of God, in the believer, in the heart of the one that will believe, which means there is belief in the gospel, more accurately, belief in the crucified Jesus Christ preached, and then God takes that preached word and works with it. Works faith. Works new life by faith. The gospel is called seed here because God works faith in the heart by the implanted word. That's why the gospel is declared to be the power of God unto salvation and even the word of life. You know, Jesus is called the word of life, and the gospel in Philippians 2 verse 16 is called the word of life. Now, sinners dead in trespasses and sin, natural men cannot discern the things of the Spirit. But the sovereign God of all power is well able to work faith and by faith life even in a dead man, bringing him to life in that instance. I say, by the hearing of the word, the Holy Spirit is able with the word to work faith and by faith life in even a dead man and bring him to life. Jesus spoke about that. In John 5, 24 and 25 as well, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. He's speaking there of the spiritually dead. It now is. And then later he speaks this way in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So he's saying, don't marvel that God is able to work faith and by faith new life in a spiritually dead man. This is the same God who will raise up their dead bodies, which are long gone in many cases from the graves, by his voice, by his very voice. Now, by his power, but I say he will call them out. They'll hear his voice. Now, Lazarus in the tomb is a picture of a lost sinner. Lazarus lay dead and unseeing in darkness. He was unable to do one thing to bring himself to life. He lay in his own corruption, and he stank. Martha said, he stinketh by now. The sinner is spiritually dead. He's unseeing. He's all darkness within. He cannot do one thing, including by his own will and power, to believe the gospel. He lays powerless in the corruption of his own sins, which are a stench to Almighty God. What brought Lazarus from death to life, from darkness to life? The voice of God, which worked life in his body in a way we can't understand. How can these things be? I'm telling you what happened. Don't be like Nicodemus in that case. The voice of God. He was brought to life. The dead man in the tomb heard his voice and came forth. We can't understand that any more than we can understand how God can say, let there be light, and there was light, and how he spoke the whole creation into existence. What did Jesus say? He stood outside the tomb, and what did he say? With a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I will tell you, I really don't believe that Lazarus was first quickened to life and was laying there waiting for permission to get up and come forth. in a way that I can't explain to you, God spoke to the dead. And by his very voice and his power worked life in the dead and brought him forth. Now, no sinner can do anything to save himself. He cannot simply decide or will to have faith. He cannot work life and light in his own soul. But God can and does, by the gospel, work faith in the heart and quicken the soul to spiritual life, and this in an instant. Let's remember, we're talking about something that takes place in an instant. We're just talking about the order. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that same God, hath shined in our hearts, our own dark and depraved hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was the power of God. Now, Christ closed his evangelical exhortation with verses 16 through 21, and we have already read those. And so I will go back to these words of Christ Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Regeneration is inseparable from the sanctifying work of the Spirit, which cleanses the soul on account of the merits of Christ's blood applied, and it's inseparable from justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ. But you have to understand that the new birth is a definite act of God. It is something that takes place in time. It is a definite act. It takes place in an instant by the power of God, which makes a natural man into a spiritual man with a new heart, a renovated conscience, and a renewed mind. It is the beginning of a whole new life for a new creature who's been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, regeneration is one of those essential doctrines of our faith. Men may say, yes, I believe that salvation is only by faith in the blood and righteousness of God. They may say they hold to justification by faith alone. But it may all be mere intellectual assent and the adoption of a doctrinal system, but not true faith. Systems of doctrine are important. But a system can't save you. Only true faith. People can have the doctrine. It can be an intellectual thing, almost a scholastic thing with them. They might be able to recite all their doctrine off, the key points and more, but that won't save them. And so they go along week after week, able to say the right things, but their very lives show their faith is dead and worthless. It is no true faith. They don't show the marks of regeneration. They're not men who have been translated from darkness and death into light and eternal life. They're not citizens of heaven. They're not new creatures. They're not heirs of salvation. It's a very, very sober thing to say. Speak of people claiming the name of Christ, sound in doctrine, and headed for hell. Christ Jesus declares, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he went on to speak of the invisible, omnipotent, sovereign power of the Holy Ghost and regeneration. Nicodemus asked the wrong question. He wanted to know, how can these things be? These things are. Christ already told him about the Holy Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound there, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. These things are. He should have first asked, why must these things be, and how can I be born again? Why must a man be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit? I'll just answer that question very simply, in part, with a few verses of Scripture. There may be someone here who isn't born again. There may be someone who hears this sermon, I'm sure there will, that isn't born again. Why must a man be born again? Let me just answer with some scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. John 3, verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. God is spirit, John 4, verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And now the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, verse 19, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the scriptures speak of a wisdom which descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And then it speaks of another wisdom, which is from above, which the natural man can't have. And 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 speaks this way: the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the prophet Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the prophet Ezekiel says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit, this is regeneration, will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. In other words, an alive heart, a living heart, a new heart, a heart warm to the things of God and understanding rather than a heart of stone. These are reasons why a man must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In light of just those verses, marvel not that ye must be born again. Marvel not that a fallen child of Adam must be born again, a spiritual man, a new creature. Rather, you should marvel that any man could even think that God would adopt as his own child, and that the Holy Spirit would dwell in sinners dead in trespasses and sins, with desperately wicked hearts, children of wrath, unholy, unjustified, and under the curse of the law. God forbid that you would think such a thing. The spiritual man is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I said, you may know all the doctrines of our faith. You may talk a good talk. You may confess even love for Christ, but have you've been born again. The Holy Spirit is the seal and earnest of our salvation. He's the Spirit of promise who witnesses with our spirit that we're the children of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Galatians 5, verse 22, and over in Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see that kind of fruit in your life? Have you been born again? Are you going to convince yourself you have been? Convince yourself right along till hell convinces you haven't been? Now, a spiritual man discerns spiritual things. Are you a spiritual man? A spiritual man discerns spiritual things, and he receives spiritual truth, and he cheerfully and sincerely seeks to obey the Word of God and to glorify God. And a spiritual man hungers for spiritual food and spiritual drink, thirsts for spiritual drink. And so he attends closely to the things of God and to the means of grace. A spiritual man is in the world and not of it. And so he doesn't love the world and the things of the world, but he loves and treasures the Lord and heavenly things. The Lord is his portion. And having the mind of Christ, he loves the things which Christ loves. including the church which Christ hath purchased in his own blood. And the fruit of all this is produced and displayed in his life. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all who are in Christ, who have been born again, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You can't even behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass. If you haven't been born again, you don't see a very, very poor, granted, but a reflection of the image of Christ in the sense the work he's doing in you spiritually, the change that's taking place. But we are with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changing of us more and more into the image of Christ. Is that going on in your life? You had better be honest with yourself. Colossians 3 verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you feel this power at work in you today? Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Yes, we know. Words are important. The word of God is holy. We're to treat it reverently. God uses it powerfully to save sinners and to sanctify his church. But what Paul is talking about is the power of God. It's a little bit different circumstance here. It has to do with a matter of discipline. And there are those who are resisting him, coming against him. But he's not there right then. He says he will be there. Then we'll find out where the power is. Who is God with? You can talk to all you want. But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's the same thing with being born again. You can say, I'm born again, but is it just words? Is the power of God at work in you? In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we could continue on talking about the marks of regeneration, but I'll just ask, have you been born again? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you haven't been born again, may God begin to work on your heart that you might know the terror of the Lord and flee for mercy to Calvary. Have you been born again? Are you sure that you have the inheritance of the saints in light by the free grace and omnipotent power of God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, Colossians 1 verse 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Do you think a man can translate himself into the kingdom of God by his own work or contribute at all to it? It's all of God. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? At that time, he wanted proof. He wanted to hear an explanation that would satisfy his natural mind. We hear that all the time. But Christ, having told him he must be born again, then tells him it's by the invisible, omnipotent work of the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and him crucified. The new birth, like faith, is not a work of man or by the will of man. It is the work of God according to the will of God. The sole efficient cause of regeneration and new life is the power of God worked by the Holy Ghost. Now Nicodemus was clearly troubled in his conscience and he was seeking answers. What answer did he get? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what else? Whosoever believeth on him, Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. That's the answer he got. The scriptures declare salvation is of the Lord. From start to finish, salvation is of the Lord. Faith is not a simple decision or opinion. Faith is the very substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. No man can just will himself to have faith or decide to have faith. I am not of the Arminian camp. And no man can do that in any measure. If you think in any measure you can just will yourself to have faith, you have taken away something from the glory of God. And you've given it to man. And you've given man a power he does not have. Faith is by grace. It is a gift of God. But many imagine themselves that they have this faith in the Lord. And let me just go a little longer on that. Today you may say, I have faith. You may be able to recite the fundamental truths of the doctrines of our faith. But I ask again, have you been born again? Ye must be born again. Do you find the marks of regeneration in your heart and in your life? Will you follow Jesus? Will you leave the world? Have you left the world? Have you picked up your cross? Or do you struggle even to be faithful to the most simple of duties to our Lord? Do you have a new heart? Do you have the mind of Christ? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He will only see eternal torment and death. Now you will note that Jesus did not ask Nicodemus if he wanted to say a prayer, if he wanted to settle the matter of salvation right then, if he wanted to sign a card, if he wanted to make a commitment, if he wanted to make a decision. What did he do? He pressed the gospel home, along with a warning of the wrath to come, as you read further on in that chapter as well. He pointed out the need. He gave Nicodemus the truth. He showed him the way, and he told him of the life. And in the doing of it, he dashed all of Nicodemus' hopes of saving himself. You must be born again. It's by faith, yes, but faith worked by God. You have to become a spiritual man. He might have thought, well, I have faith. Are you born again? Then you don't have faith if you're not born again. You have to be born again. You must be born again. How can you be born again? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Christ lifted up himself on the cross before the eyes of Nicodemus. And what Nicodemus did, we just don't know. But I will tell you what I do know. If he didn't seek to be born again, if he didn't persist in seeking the Lord to work saving faith in him, if he didn't beseech him to save his soul until he had the assurance that he had been born from above, then Nicodemus has for these 2,000 years been in torment of body and soul in outer darkness and flames, weeping and gnashing his teeth. Why? Because he didn't look to Jesus for the salvation of his soul. Oh, the regret and the agony of knowing an eternity of suffering when heaven was offered in Jesus. And I think of the false convert we're concerned with. Oh, I have faith. I can recite Bible verses to you. I can tell you the 5 points of Calvinism. I can do all manner of things that will simply dazzle you. Are you born again? Have you been regenerated by the power of God? You can say, how can these things be? I could answer you with the line from the hymn, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. I tell you what I do know. You must be born again. This new birth is by the power of God alone. And I know that it's real. I know that it's spiritual. I know that it's transforming. I know that it's heavenly. I know that it's a renovation. I know that it's a reviving. I know that it's a quickening. I know that it's a doing away of old things. I know that it causes all things to be made new. I know that it is the birth of a new creature with whom all things have been made new. I know that. I know it's everything the Word of God declares, because we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen. Have you been born again? Don't trifle with your own soul. Don't flirt with the flames of hell. Look for these marks of regeneration in your life. Seek God and be sure, because the day will come when it will no longer be a day of grace for you. It will be a day of judgment and eternal torment. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May God grant that someone, through the preaching of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would be born again. From this message even. Amen.